What's up, Dialed fam? Happy Monday and welcome to episode number 36 of the Dialed Health Podcast. My name is Derek Teal. I'm the owner and operator of Dialed Health, which is strength training for cyclists. Really excited to bring an interview to you today that I did with Connor last Friday. So Connor Rickey is from Adventure Labs Media. He's a co-owner, and if you have not seen their Instagram page at Adventure Labs, I highly recommend, as you're listening to this, maybe not if you're driving, but go over on Instagram to at Adventure Labs and see the photos and the stories that they have posted up. They're unreal. The reason that really I think they're relevant for Dialed Health is that, for one, Connor is a mountain biker, and we kind of connected through the podcast, so he is part of this Dialed fan that's listening. He reached out initially about the episode when we built the personal mission statement and went over all those details. It was very motivating for him, and we got connected. And I'll be honest, like, I'm a sucker for anyone who's into just self-improvement and just in a way that's genuine, like, and not cheesy and corny, but I'm drawn to people who want to better themselves. And, you know, that's why I do what I do. And he's a guy that not only wants that and he's continually evolving, but he's had success through Adventure Labs and creating media, and you'll see it when you go to the page. It's incredible, awesome stories. And the whole goal of the conversation was, you know, how do we get people who are even the most casual Instagram users, or people who are just taking in content, like visual content, how do we get that story across that we want to our followers? You know, whether it's your business or even just your 100 friends that you follow, you know, when you stop a lot of times on a ride to take a photo, it's because you're so pumped on the moment and you want to share it and you want people to have that same feeling that you do at the time. So how do you get that message across in the best way possible? You know, why is it worth it to post something like that? And so we go into some of those details, but I will say, if you're at all curious to hear about some of the behind the scenes on what I go through and as far as creating content for you guys for Dialed Health, and then what even he is doing and then other companies as well, I think it's really interesting to see what goes behind just, you know, one photo or one video and the overall picture, because you got to know that it's got to be a part of a big plan and on brand, and there's a lot of dynamic to it. So it's not to overthink it, but you know, when it's your business, you got to take it seriously. So anyways, it's a cool conversation. I think you'll really enjoy it, especially his evolution. So we'll talk the first half really about his come up to where he's at, and then go into some of those details toward the end. I'll be following up this episode with some Dialed Health business updates, and then I'm going to talk about the biggest road ride I've ever actually done in my life, which I did yesterday. More specifically, we're going to talk about my ride nutrition during the ride, what I did well and what I did not do well. I'll give you the ride stats and we'll go in depth on that. Not too long, but I thought it'd be fun to talk about and pretty insightful, because the way I woke up feeling today, I've been thinking about it all day long. So you guys, if you're enjoying the podcast, please leave me a 5-star rating and a review on the Apple Podcast app. You could also screenshot this and share it on your Instagram story, tagging at Dialed Health, and I will love you forever, as always promised. You guys, thank you so much. Let's jump into the episode. All right, Connor, we're live. We had a little audio malfunction there and we're going now.
Yeah, we're good to go.
Dude, thanks for doing this. I'm really stoked to have you on the podcast today, because as we kind of got into it, you know, outdoor media is super relevant for most cyclists, because we get to this point where even if you just are the most casual Instagram user, you get somewhere and you want to share your experience. You know, and I think you do that. I mean, that's pretty much, it seems like, what you do through Adventure Labs. And I'm really excited to dive into how people can, like, do that in a more effective way. And also to hear about kind of how you've built your business and why you do what you do, because I think it's so valuable. And it's also crazy to see your success amongst the flood of Instagram beautiful photos that are out there. Yeah. So I have some questions that are written out for you, but we are going to make sure we keep it pretty candid. So I want to start by saying to everyone that we've talked back and forth on Instagram for a while, and I can't remember how we met. You're a mountain biker, so I'm sure we crossed paths that way. Do you remember actually how we first got in touch?
I think it had to do with TDS. I don't think we met at TDS, but I actually shot TDS for, I think, 3, maybe 4 years. So I don't think I actually met you there, but somehow through Instagram you popped up, mutual friends with the Sanchez family, and And then I just checked out Dialed Health and was stoked on it. And I just, I don't know. We just started, started chatting from there, I think.
That's so rad. And I'm not sure what made me realize you do what you did. Maybe it was talking about TDS. Were you part of Soul ID?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I did all the video content for Soul ID.
That's rad.
Yeah, I was there. I was their head video director.
Yeah. And so for people who I guess weren't at the TDS a few years ago when you guys were out there as Soul ID, they always have great media at TDS. It seems like it gets more and more. As the years go on, we had a really good Vital Raw there from last year. Sick. And we're talking about the Dirty Sanchez Enduro, one of the coolest races you can do on the planet if you're an enduro racer, period. Yeah.
The best. And
so, yeah, I remember seeing the Soul ID video and then, you know, long story short, we kind of get in touch. And really, especially a couple years ago, this is when I started really focusing on scaling through Instagram and trying to like go all in on that. And seeing what you were doing at the time was super inspiring for me. And the fact that you're a mountain biker. So easy BFFs, man.
Easy. Friends forever. Easy peasy. Yeah. Anyone, it's easy to make friends with other mountain bikers. We're all pretty much the same.
Yeah, totally. And it's cool. You know, one thing I think I've noticed since starting Dialed Health, you know, we're all mountain bikers. And like you said, that's an easy connection. And it's like that, there's that bond where you kind of understand each other. But also when you have this other thing going on, like this other value, it even becomes more intriguing. Like for me, with you, you do something at the highest level that I'm like trying to learn how to do for Dialed Health. On top of the fact that you're a mountain biker. So instantly I'm like, I got to know more about this guy. And so I'm stoked we finally get to talk this way because we've done some back and forth messages. I meant to literally email you all year last year just for projects and everything like that. But yada, yada, let's get into it, man. So
yeah, for sure.
You are in Northern California, correct?
Yep. Chico, California.
Oh, I thought you were in the Bay Area.
I'm from the Bay Area, but I went to school in Chico and graduated, and now I'm living and working here, kind of based here. My family's from the East Bay though, so I'm always back and forth.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yep. Dude, that's so awesome. I'm up in Chico. Yep.
Right on. Chico's so cool. That's like an hour and a half away from where the Dialed Health studio's at, from where I live. And fun fact, my dad and I are about to do a century ride in Chico. And was going to be a planned one, but we decided to still do it anyways, even though it's canceled, so. Yeah.
Nice.
And then you were working for Soul ID, but take it back before that. What was the initial draw into video, into content creation for you?
Yeah, man. So way back, I would say I tell people that I think I started making videos and having interest when I was like 13 or 14. I would just pick up a camera. It just kind of naturally happened. I come from a pretty creative family. My dad's a musician. He makes music for a living, makes music for infomercials. Nice. Both my parents play a ton of instruments. My like brothers and sister are all super creative. So I think my like natural born gifted area of creation per se was video. And so around when I was 13 or 14, I would just start filming all this stuff, all the like goofy stuff me and my friends would do, like skateboarding, scootering, dirt biking, always like in the outdoors, making like little skits, short films and stuff like that. And I don't know why I necessarily got into it, but somehow just like a camera interests me like crazy. Like I started shooting on my dad's, like picked up one of my dad's camcorders on tapes back in the day.
Yeah.
And then graduated up to this like little $100, like, you know, point and shoot or whatever. And then just kind of started working up from there. And I probably made 100 videos on that little thing.
And I could imagine these videos are more like Jackass meets Nitro Circus meets like, you know, ridiculousness type style.
Yeah. If you look up YouTube Rocks 452 on YouTube, like YouTube Rocks 452, that's pretty much, I mean, I had probably 100 more videos that didn't get posted there, but a lot of them are still posted there. Like you'll see stuff from like 10, 11 years ago posted on there.
Oh, incredible.
And I thought about taking them down, but I'm just like, you know what? Like these are so fun to look back on and they're my roots. And I think probably when I was more self-conscious in like high school and stuff, I was like, oh, I got to take these down. They're so bad. Like my videos suck.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I kept them up and now I'm like all for it. I love going back and watching those, but,
And I'm sorry to interrupt. Have you seen the Trainer Tuesdays that I did a few years back for Dialed Health?
I'm not sure. So remind me.
Basically, there were these skits where we would do like movie parodies. You know, we did like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or we would do like Dumb and Dumber, and we would tie it into like fitness or nutrition somehow. And then it would go into like an actual informative thing. But the skits got so funny and so goofy that like people would just watch the skit and then cut it and like not even watch the information. So pretty soon I was like, well, I'm funny trainer guy, but I'm not actually getting real clients, so I need to stop this. And I went back and looked at some of the videos, and dude, I mean, the amount of like women's clothing I was in and toilet scenes, and like I'm like, I gotta delete this. But recently someone from New Zealand, this guy is a physical therapist, started sharing them with his clients, and I was like, well, like you said, they're like, they're your roots, you know. And I was so close to taking them down, but they're there. So there's a fun one if you want to go to the Trainer Tuesday page on my YouTube. Yeah.
Okay. Y'all have to check that out. And a quick takeaway from this story, I think, is it never hurts to just put stuff out there, make content and put it out there, because you're always going to look back on it later and be happy you did it, whether you learned something from it, or, you know, you just, now you have content to be like, instead of just say, I've been in this for 10 years, you can be like, look, these were my videos from 10 years ago. Like, this is actually a visual representation of where I came from. So it's just one more little thing about the power of video there. Like whenever I consider like, should I film this or not? Like I try to just, if I can, shoot it and put it out there, because I never regret it, really.
I love that. And that's great advice for even what we're about to get into, as far as like not overthinking what you're posting, that it's this perfect finished product. Cause dude, even over the years of like putting up a website or advertising or doing something for myself, it's like you think, oh, 5 more months or something and I'll have this product, it'll be perfect. But no matter how perfect you think it is when you put it out, if you're growing, it's not going to be long before you look back at it and you're like, oh, that sucked, I need to switch it up. Because it's like you kind of evolve and then you refine and then you evolve and then you refine. So yeah, waiting till it's perfect is stupid, because it's, your perfect product's not going to be perfect in 6 months.
Yeah. No, moral of the story, nothing's ever perfect. That imaginary idea you have of success or perfection, like once I hit this milestone, like I'll be successful or be happy or be content. Like it just never comes. There's no future. There's only right now. So
that's so
hopeful. It's a hard thing to, I know, but it's the truth.
really true.
It's only now. You just gotta act.
Dude, I'm pumped up now. I'm inspired already.
Let's go. So
you got all these videos that you've been cranking out. You're doing the YouTube channel. And then where did it go from that point and shoot camera?
So from the point and shoot camera days, I just slowly kind of worked my way up into, you know, working, doing yard work and stuff to save up money to buy nicer cameras. And when I say nicer, I'm talking like maybe a $100 camera to a $300 like GoPro, you know?
Yeah.
Just kind of made my way up. And then in high school, started to really get more into it. And this is where, I'm not sure if you know this yet, but I think you're going to find this interesting. The point where I really started to take filmmaking and photography seriously is when I started making mountain bike videos.
I love it.
Mountain bike edits with my friends. So
yeah,
that's the point where I like really got into it. Like started coming home from school every day. And you know, it used to be from getting home and riding every day to getting home to riding and filming every day. And then every weekend, linking up with different people to shoot edits and put them on Pink Bike. And so from kind of the point and shoot stuff, I started doing a lot of mountain bike videos. That was something I was super passionate about and still am, but don't get to do as many anymore. Because you know, you got to pay the bills.
But, For sure.
In making mountain bike films, I think is where I learned a lot. Like I grew super fast. I was going to Sea Otter, like, you know, AT Showdown. I don't know if you remember that, like that event, man, like
that wasn't that super small, like,
yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think they had one at the post office. And so I just started to go into like more events and start shooting events, which taught me a lot about, you know, event photography and video. And up until like these points, like I'm still not getting paid a dollar. Like I'm just learning. I mean, I probably created like over 500 videos and made $0 for like the first 5 or 6 years of making videos and learning. So I think making those mountain bike videos are really what gave me my roots in filmmaking from a skill perspective. Then go forward to like my senior year in high school, I started wanting to monetize this skill. So I started reaching out to a bunch of local businesses. Like I did a video for, I actually did a video for a local personal trainer looking back on it. And nice. I'll have to find that and send it to you because I think the video is terrible and you might be inspired to see how bad it is and how far I've been able to come, I guess. And then I did another video for like an eyeglass, like a, you know, optics store or whatever, just a bunch of random like little small businesses. And we're talking doing these whole projects for like, you know, $250, like $200 bucks, just like knocking them out. I didn't even know like how to like do. And I mean, that's how I learned the core of my business. Like just by doing. Like I did go to Chico for entrepreneurship. That's my degree, business entrepreneurship. But man, like you can't replace just going out there and like learning stuff the hard way and doing it yourself. So I learned a lot.
And can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, sure. So
like what you said too about traveling to races and now going to like film, it's not that you're even not making money. You're putting out money. You're going negative to get these films
for
done.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And the amount of like free boot camps I've done and training sessions, like I literally, there's a point where I could not train people for free if I wanted to. Like I tried and I wasn't able to do it. And so, I mean, I've even recently kind of tried to work with some people who are demanding some insane pay, or they want to get involved, but they're not willing to do anything for like free, or kind of like they show no interest to genuinely get their foot in the door. Everyone wants to get paid right away. And this is a social media thing that is happening a ton.
Oh, it's 100%.
Like, I'll start a podcast, but how do I get paid? It's like, no, just start and like figure out that as you go. And I mean, I think that's like the golden rule is you think you're going to get paid from starting anything right away. It's just, it's going to backfire instantly. You're instantly going to be disappointed. And it's not going to last. So as soon as people start talking like that, it's like, okay, you're not serious. Cause if you're serious, you'll do it and you'll find a way to make it your job.
Anyways, sure.
Struck a note with me.
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you brought that up. And to kind of go off that too, I think I was also very fortunate to have found this passion when I was in like middle school and high school. Like I didn't have to worry about money, you know, like, and I was also fortunate to come from, you know, a family that was comfortable in terms, you know, financially, to be completely transparent. Like I wasn't like, people have these stories, like, you know, started from the very bottom, like was living on the streets and stuff. Like that definitely wasn't my story. Yeah. And my, you know, my path was not easy by any means. It takes a ton of work, but I'm super grateful and fortunate to have been in that position where I found my passion in high school when, like, you know, making money wasn't the number one thing like it is once you graduate college and you have to become a real adult and start making money and paying your bills. Yeah. Definitely becomes a lot harder to like do something for the love of it at that point. So I just wanted to kind of make that note.
It's a good to bring up. I feel that way about the skills I've learned on mountain bikes, like being able to jump, wheelie, manual, stoppy, like all these little like trail skills that can open you up to ride any trail. Like, cause I don't ride my mountain bike even as much as I ride my road bike now. But when I do go ride, I can go ride like any trail or hit like a 30-foot double and it's in my comfort zone. And I'm like, thank God I went through all the pain when I was like a 13-year-old digging dirt jumps and breaking bones. Because like I would never do that now. Like to be in your 30s with a family, in your 40s, in your 50s, trying to learn how to wheelie, trying to learn how to jump and all that is so sketchy. Like I'm so happy I did that when I was young and just like I didn't care about anything else and could sit in front of my friend's house for literally 4 hours after school and pop wheelies. Like how I could even now in my position, I'm, you know, 28, but with the time in business, I could never find time to do that. I could never prioritize it. So
For sure.
Total side rant, man. But yeah, that's awesome. So
wheelies are rad. Side note.
So you go from doing these videos, these mountain bike videos. At what point did you start getting into Soul ID? Because I assume that was like the first kind of legit business you did through the videos, besides like your solo stuff.
Yeah. Soul ID was legit. So that I started working with Soul ID my sophomore year of college at Chico State. And I started working there actually just by connecting. It was through a mutual friend, and he had known a kid that I went to high school with that went to Chico State, knew that, you know, I made videos and was into action sports and mountain biking and all this stuff. So he connected me with the marketing guy at Soul ID because I guess they were looking for a videographer. So he was like, yeah, just like shoot us a message on our website and, you know, reach out and we'll see if we can work together. And like looking at it from like an outside perspective, like it looked like this super insane, legit business, like Red Bull or something.
Yeah.
Which to an extent it was like they had investment. It was, yeah, definitely a legit company. But I remember taking kind of like a leap, sending that email, kind of like I had like a mental battle going on. This was my freshman year of college, being like, am I good enough? Like, should I actually reach out to this company? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is like, these guys are like, this is like exactly what I would love to do. Like Soul ID, for those who don't know what it was basically like an action sports. It was a social media network for action sports. Sorry, it's been a while. So basically it was like a Facebook for mountain biking, wakeboarding, snowboarding, dirt biking, all that stuff. So it was like,
oh, wow,
perfect.
I didn't know that.
It was an amazing
fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And, that was partially the issue. They closed doors since doing TDS. They've moved on, but, cause they were essentially trying to compete with Facebook, which was no easy task.
That force you to start Adventure Labs, that closure?
Yeah, kind of. So when I worked at Soul ID, we were all basically just working for free. Like we were all like these 10 guys working with this startup. It was like hardcore, like startup culture. Like we were like working early mornings, late nights, going to events for free, you know, just trying to market and get out there. So we were all working for free, but we all learned so much through that experience. Like I met those guys who are like my best friends now. And this gets into how Adventure Labs became. I actually met my co-founder and business partner with Adventure Labs through Soul ID, Kevin Shinohara. And that was the guy who initially kind of got me the job at Soul ID. So we all worked together at Soul ID for a while. And then everyone sort of branched off and started their own businesses. There's a couple of the other guys that started their own creative business. A lot of creative type of entrepreneurial stuff, but not to ramble. But yeah, I met my business partner at Soul ID. So again, kind of taking a step back here, you know, for the listeners, something to take away. Like we didn't make hardly any money working for Soul ID, but out of that, again, I gained a ton of business experience because the guys that were the founders were a few years older than me and like insane entrepreneurs, public speakers. And I learned so much about business through them. And then through all these edits I was making, like I just kind of took another step up and was like pushing what I could create to another level again. So I learned a ton and improved as a creator a bunch. Also learned about business and met my co-founder through that. Again, still not getting paid, really.
Still not getting paid. And you took those business classes in college.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have those business classes, and I've been curious about this, you start your own business. How much carryover was there from those classes? Do you feel like that you did learn enough to really assist you? Or did you feel like you jumped into the business side and still had to figure it all out as you went?
Definitely had to jump into the business side and figure it all out as I went. If that
blows my mind. Yeah.
Because it's, I was just talking to one of my buddies that was in the program yesterday about this, just kind of about the whole program actually.
Yeah.
And how do you teach entrepreneurship? You know, like how do you have a degree? It's such a contradiction. So I kind of feel it for the universities because they still have to test. They still have to, you know, go through all the paces that they have to do to be a program through university. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like entrepreneurship should not really be taught like that. So it was very by the book. I definitely did learn a lot about, you know, all the real like nitty gritty business stuff. Like, you know, what's your 5-year pro forma? Like you're about to start a business. Like how do you make projections for the next 5 years? And where do you think that money's going to come from? And then how are you going to find the investment for that? And just like those kind of things, like it was very cool. By the book.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it didn't really help me much because the mentality there was kind of like everyone trying to come up with the next Facebook, the next Uber.
Right.
These like big ideas that would require pitching and funds of investment from venture capitalists and like hundreds of millions. And they kind of, I felt like excused any business ideas in these classes that you would come up with that weren't like that. So for me, like my ideas were like, so I started Chico Media Group, which is our corporate video production company that I do still run. That's actually still kind of the day job, the bread and butter right now. And that's a video production company that we mainly have clients in Chico, but we do like 3 to 4 minute brand story videos in tons of industries like healthcare, construction. Basically, we film anything for anyone that needs it.
No way.
Event coverage and all that stuff. Yeah. So I actually did start that business in class. There was a business plan development class where we had to come up with a hypothetical business, build out a business plan for it. And that was the business that I did start in that class.
Wow.
But I had to push back a lot because my professors were like, well, what's different about another video production company? Like, what's your unique value proposition and all this stuff? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I want to do this. Like, I've never ran a company before. Like, how about we start there? Like, I'm going to start small. I mean, small, I wouldn't say it's necessarily small, but compared to like, you know, talking about hundreds of millions in investment, it is, I guess. But there was a lot of pushback from my professors on me wanting to do that. So that is something good that I got out of the program was that business, and we still run it to this day. But like, I was pushing back the whole time. Like, I was forcing my professors to let me like make this business a thing.
That's so funny. Cause okay, for one, they're a professor. So I mean, do they have side businesses outside of being a teacher?
Some of them do. And some of them don't. Some of my professors were good and they actually were entrepreneurs their whole career and started multiple businesses. Some just have a master's degree and had never even run their business before. And those were the classes that were very by the book and drove me absolutely nuts.
You couldn't do it. I mean, literally it's like you wouldn't go to a dentist with bad teeth. People do go to trainers that are overweight, which I cannot understand. It's like, dude,
right.
Like, I don't care if people are overweight. Like it's like you have to lead by example. And it's so crazy to me that someone would go against that. And like, even for entrepreneurship, it's like, you almost think that someone needs to find, and this is what my thing is, like, you need to say, I'm an entrepreneur. I know that I want to do this. What do I want to do now? What skill do I need to go learn about? Like, if I went back to school, hypothetically, it would probably be for marketing or something. It would never be for like entrepreneurship. It'd be for like that skill that I really want to develop to improve the business. Or like one narrowed focus, like you kind of work and you find out what you need to get better at and you search for that. So yeah, it's almost like a backward process for me, the whole business entrepreneurship degree. It's really interesting. Kind of sidetracked though. I'll bring us back. Sorry.
No worries. I do just want to add one little note on that. That I got out of that conversation I mentioned earlier with my buddy yesterday is what we realize is we never heard the word passion once in any of our business classes. And that is like, if I've learned anything over the last few years of working with businesses, running my own companies, is that if you're not passionate about what you're doing, especially if you're trying to start it from the ground up, like you are the founder, the CEO of that company that you're trying to start and you're not passionate about it, then it's game over. Like, that is not going to last. Like, even if you have the best business plan, the best business model, the best idea, but you're not, I was going to say you hate it, but you have to like love it. You can't be like 95% on something. You got to be like 110%.
Right.
Because when things get hard, like you have, and they will, you have to be able to push through, and without that passion, that's not going to happen. And that was never once taught or told to us in our business classes, which I think is probably the most important metric of success when, you know, being an entrepreneur.
Oh, dude, it's almost cliche to say, but I'm happy you brought it up because unless you feel it, it's hard to really know how important it is. Because even though you love your job and you're passionate about your job, you're going to wake up and there's a day you just don't want to do it that day. It's just how it is. And you have to, that's the day. It's the grind. And, you know, it happens, you know, to me, it happens to you and everybody. But when you, like, I know I would train people to be healthier, fitter versions of themselves if I got paid for it or not, 100%. Just like you would make videos, whether you got paid for it or not. And I think when you have a hobby or a talent like that, that's when you realize, oh, maybe I should turn this into a job. It's like, what would you do if there was no obligation to do it? And how can you turn that into something, you know? So to bring it back is you now created Adventure Labs and you have one partner in this.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the partner? I don't know if I've met him.
It's my buddy and roommate, Kevin Shinohara.
Oh, Kevin. Okay.
Nice. Yeah. I don't know if you've met or seen Kevin maybe, but we've done a ton of traveling and trips together and awesome dude.
So what are the separate roles for you guys?
You know, we kind of, we go back and forth on this all the time, man. It's it's like, we're still finding clarity every day. Like, I don't want anyone listening to this, like, to put me on a pedestal, because I don't think, like, I'm so far from where I want to be in my goals. So we're still figuring things out every day, but I'm definitely more of the head of content creation. Video, it was something that I came from naturally before Kevin did. Mm-hmm. Like, we always kind of say, like, he's a little bit more of the adventure. I'm more of the labs. He's very adventurous and outdoorsy and can hook like the fattest gainers off like 80-100 foot cliffs and stuff like that. So like in the foundation root days of the beginnings of Adventure Labs, he was the one to do the crazy stuff and then I would film it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And so that's kind of how, and that's how Adventure Labs started, was just a way to document our adventures with the world, really. That's just sick. The little trips that we went on. It was nothing more than that. It was just like a simple way to we just wanted to film and share what we were doing with the world because we had so much fun doing it.
But I've seen your website. You have all the info you need and like products that you've been on there. But was the initial focus to drive Instagram traffic mainly? Because right now it's your handle is at Adventure Labs. And everyone needs to check it out if you guys aren't already following it. Because if you are into outdoors at all, it's just, it's hard not to see the page and just be inspired. Like, you want to go do something sick. You want to go take a sick photo and you want to be in an awesome place. And it's cool because it's an outdoors visual, like beautiful photo platform that is not douchey, you know? And I think that can be hard to come by. So I commend you on that first off. And I just think that if you enjoy Dialed Health, kind of what I'm all about, I think that it'll be a platform that you kind of agree with and that you can look at and be inspired and not just be like, well, you know, it's more just chicks butts or whatever. I don't know. So it's like, you know what I mean?
Cause we all, that stuff goes viral. That's what's easy, you know, but
yeah,
nothing great comes that easy.
Yeah. So that's cool. So basically you guys just started taking trips and you would capture the trip. He would do a lot of the stunts. You would take a lot of the images. And then are you guys going back and like sitting at the computer together and like uploading? Are you doing posts together? How do you take it from that initial photo to actually posting on Instagram?
Yeah. So it's a long process, number one. I mean, not long, but it's to not sugarcoat it. It takes a long time to do it the right way. But I like, again, I'm more of the photo video side. So I handle a lot of the filming and the editing. And then we would, as 50-50 owners, we would switch off posting on Instagram, which also takes a long time.
Right.
So I would post some stuff. You would post some stuff. We would both hop on stories and start chatting about, you know, whatever it is we're chatting about. I'm trying to, can you maybe like clarify a little bit more, like, where are you going with that question?
Okay, so let's just say the gainer, for example. So you get a photo of Kevin doing a gainer into, you know, off some rock jump in the ocean or whatever. And so you get the shot. It's beautiful. You have blue ass water, which we all know is mandatory. I don't know if you're a Cody Ko fan at all, but kind of like his term. It's pretty funny. But, you know, you get the shot of the gainer. You have, let's just say, all these shots, you edit it down. And so now it's basically one of you guys decide to upload it. And I guess I was just looking for, like, you know, if you're uploading it separately, it's like you have it, just to get more specific, like the language. How do you keep your like language consistent for the captions? How do you keep the actual vibe of the page consistent? Because honestly, as someone who I run my page entirely, and even though I get different photographers and videographers work, I have control of how to kind of like get it to where I want, to where it sounds like it's from me. And I've always had this fear of like, how would I give someone else the reins to do that? You know?
Okay. Yeah. I got you. So I would say it just comes down to two main things. One being communication and two being understanding of the thing that they're posting.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you brought it up actually, because we did have an intern for a while, for about 6 months, and you probably didn't even notice, was posting 2 to 3 times a day through the Adventure Labs account. Wow. It was a girl that we found through Chico State that wanted a social media experience. She didn't know much about anything about our industry, about action sports. Mm-hmm. She enjoyed the outdoors and she fit the brand, but she didn't like know nearly as much, I don't think, about it as we did, and especially filmmaking.
Yeah.
But we just spent that time communicating with her and kind of training her into the lingo and the voice of the brand and those kind of things. And then over time, she was able to learn about the content itself. So, And I think that's something that a lot of people have an issue with, is like letting go of control of certain elements of their business. And it's still something that I'm working on for sure. And that was a big leap for us to like, give someone the login to our Instagram account and let them post, you know, on behalf of us basically. And it worked out great. Like it worked out really well. Like she ended up being more consistent and almost better than we were at it. And
wow,
we wish we could have hired her, but she graduated and had to take a big girl job somewhere else that actually paid the bills.
Wasn't
just an internship. She's killing it there now. And I wish we could, she was such a rad employee, but
man,
just like it's possible. Mm-hmm. And it's all about just communicating with that person, having them study your feed, your voice, and it's possible.
Like, yeah.
And so for me and Kevin, like we just both knew the lingo of everything, you know, all the gainers and like the whips and all the words like that and all the industries that we post about. So we both knew that, like we're with each other all the time. So we basically talk the same. Mm-hmm.
The same sense of humor and everything like that.
Pretty similar. Yeah.
Yeah. So then you're creating these posts, and I think this would be good for really anyone to get some advice on how to get your message across, because obviously you train this girl to get your message across. And like I mentioned it before, but you're the most casual Instagram user. You're just taking random shots with your iPhone. You're not really editing them or anything like that. And the goal isn't to do this like business worthy post, but it's just for you and your friends to see, like you are in a situation that you want other people to see because you're inspired by it. You want to capture that feeling. Do you have any advice for someone who like, again, very casually just wants to get that feeling to other people, which is really what like Instagram is for, you know? Mm-hmm. And so how would you recommend people doing that? Like, are there any steps they could take, or what angle could they come from? Like, is there a amount of text that they should write? I mean, mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
I will just start by saying it's kind of a per case basis, and I don't want to like take what I say here with a grain of salt, because this is what's worked for me, but I'm always testing those kind of things. Right now, here in 2020, the thing that I've seen have the best engagement so far is longer, more thought out, like raw, authentic, transparent captions for your photos. So because we kind of used to do a lot of like putting more of the emphasis on the image itself and less on the caption, and the caption was more of a way to be like, you know, explanation of what the image is, you know, amazing shot in Switzerland by this photographer, comment a friend or tag someone that should see this, you know, have a good day, hope you're inspired. Like that's what we did for a long time, and that's what a lot of people did. But I think that we're just now being flooded with so much good content, it's more about the story than ever right now. And on my personal Instagram account, on the Adventure Labs Instagram account, and even on the Adventure Labs YouTube and my personal YouTube, any social media platform where you get real with your audience, like you don't hold back, you don't try to like fake it till you make it, or like put this fake image on, like be yourself, be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It's scary to like put yourself out there like that, but you're going to help the most amount of people, because if you're feeling a certain way, good or bad, there's going to be other people out there that resonate with that. Even if they don't comment on it and tell you about it, like just know that there are people out there resonating with your message. So you just have to be authentic about that. Just like, that's what I've seen has been working really well right now in terms of like personal fulfillment and brand growing and engagement. Like it's a win-win-win to just be more, a little bit, explain yourself a little bit more in your caption now than ever. Like it's okay to have like 3, 4, 5 paragraphs as your Instagram caption
right
now, because if it's just an image, people are just going to keep going, because there's so much of that, especially in like the space that we're in. Like it's such a crowded space. I could probably see like 1 to 200 amazing photos in like a minute if I wanted to. And people will stop and read if they feel like an emotional connection to that post, or if they're getting some sort of value out of that by reading it.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome advice. But that's what I would say. That's what I've seen is working right now.
I think it's awesome advice because you are saying it isn't just for casual users. It's also for businesses. It's like the same approach. And it's what is going to make you feel the best about putting it out. Because I even have friends who, you know, they have a few hundred Instagram followers. It's just all close friends. There's no reason to act cool on Instagram in that situation. There really isn't in general, because like, again, the transparency works. But sometimes I'll see, like, for example, you'll see that person post a photo of their bike, you know, with a view in the background.
And yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
For one, it's like, okay, you're riding in Lake Tahoe. It's geotagged. Like, we get it, right? But then they're just like, guilty. The caption is just like, well, it's not the photo that I'm that's wrong. But it's more like the caption where they post it. And then it's just like, you know, shredding Lake Tahoe on my, Specialized plug,
whatever, yeah.
Which is like, okay, I already see that from the photo. And then it's some like very vague, just like, you know, caption, like it's something that is so safe, you know, it's like they say something like, it's obvious that's what's happening. And instead they could just say like, you know, I barely got out for a ride today. So stoked I made the time. When I dropped in, I was stressed, literally hit a corner and, you know, almost crashed and got my heart rate up. And then I was like pedaling harder because of it and had so much fun at the rest of the ride. Like, you go into that and then all of a sudden that photo with the bike makes more sense, opposed to just being like ripping the trails or whatever on my whatever. So yeah, it's like you go from the safe caption to like really describing it. And then when you kind of point out the fact that you had this imperfect experience, then people can really connect. That's an interesting one. That's cool. I love the chance.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Story is king too. If you can incorporate a story into anything you're talking about, people will listen more. Like any sort of like communication, human to human, if you can work a story into it, people will just pay more attention. Like you could present the same idea in two different ways, and if there's a story behind it, people will just listen. And I want to compliment you on that, because I've noticed that you totally do that, dude. Like on your stories, like, it'll be like, man, I really didn't want to get on the bike today, but I'm so glad I did it. Like this really sucked like this morning, but like I could feel my body needing this. Like now I feel so much better, or like I'm going to feel so much better tomorrow now that I did this. But you could have easily just hopped on there and been like 6:30 AM spin sesh. Like, let's get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Thank you, dude. I really appreciate that.
And it keeps me like, I watch like, you know, I'm not necessarily in the market for what you serve. Like I don't think I'm so into mountain biking that I need like one-on-one personal, you know, coaching or training yet or anything like that. But I watch all your stories.
That's cool.
And I just kind of realized, like, I think that's probably why. It's because you're just authentic and interesting and you work stories into them. And yeah.
Dude, that's really good for me to know also. I appreciate that. Because sometimes, too, I like wonder, am I typing too much text on these stories or this or that? And another thing, too, is also being honest and being transparent without being too negative. Because you want to point out the fact that something is difficult, like a struggle. Like, I'll tell you right now, I've had a very, very up and down month with everything that's going on for my business. I'm sure you have too. I'm going through the payment protection plan right now, which has been the worst experience. And I want to talk about it. But for one, I don't really want to get into it with everybody. I don't need to hear everyone's opinion, but or judgment or whatever. But I also, it's like, I don't know how to bring it up with just being a complete downer. But then again, it's like you want to connect and it's a real life experience. So I noticed those things where I'll see other people that are so transparent, but it's like, I don't really need to know that you're like really fighting with your wife. Like that sounds pretty serious. You know what I mean?
It's true.
And like, at what point is there a balance there that you feel like that you need to draw? I mean, is that just someone's personal brand that could get away with being more negative? Or, I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
It could be, but I think, like you said, it's just balance. It's like, and kind of like taking a step back and like asking yourself why, like, why am I posting this? Why am I sharing this? Yeah. Then kind of working backwards. Like, you know, you might have this idea to share this vulnerable, transparent, negative thing, And then maybe your next step is like, okay, well, like, what's the point in sharing this? And then you can realize, like, is there a takeaway to improve someone else's life or my own life by sharing this? And if not, then maybe like it's not something that you should share, you know?
Like that's when it's but too if it's negative. Like, got it.
Yeah, that's when it's too negative. And I'm just kind of like spitballing ideas off the top of the head here, but like that's what I would that's what I would say to that is like I always try to have like a like what's the punchline?
That's sick. I love that. So you just, you get to the point and you figure out why am I doing this? And if it really doesn't give anyone value, probably not worth sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that just comes back down to like self-awareness and knowing why you're doing what you're doing and what your core values are and all that stuff, which is a whole nother conversation, but something very important as well. Like to give you a tactile example here, like for Adventure Labs, something I've realized recently is my purpose right now is to inspire people to pursue their passion. Like it sounds like vague and it sounds generic, but like everything I do, I want to come down to that. So it posting photos to Adventure Labs, like I want to inspire someone, even if it's like only a little bit of, you know, a little dopamine hit. Someone sees a picture and they're like, ooh, that was cool. And then they keep scrolling. Like I do that over and over, like day in and day out. Like that's going to inspire them to potentially, you know, pursue their passion of, in my instance, because of our niche, photography and travel and outdoors and stuff. Like literally yesterday, like one of my good friends just kind of opened up to me and was like, dude, you're the reason why I bought my first camera.
That's like, so cool.
And it's just like, I, you know, he's like a good friend and he's just like, dude, I'm like really trying to open up more and be more vulnerable these days. And like, I just want to let you know that like, it was because of you that I'm pursuing this.
Right.
And yeah, just, I was like, man, like, I just want to inspire more people to pursue their passion. That's what Adventure Labs is about. That's what my personal YouTube channel is about, which is all about camera reviews and tech and becoming a better creator and all that stuff. And so, yeah, just like, because I know that, like, I know what stories, negative or not, would be relevant to share and, you know, what result that's going to have, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. That's so cool. So, you know, you mentioned also that when you had your intern, you were uploading multiple times a day. And you're already talking about how, okay, your thing is like a dopamine hit, like you just mentioned, and you're trying to obviously inspire people, but we both know like the more you can grow your platform, the more you inspire people. So it's like this weird balance of like, okay, I want to grow my business and I don't want to have like an angle, but the truth is that angle is getting you closer to your purpose, you know? So for you, like, have you found that posting multiple times a day right now is relevant? So it's April, you know, 2020, hashtag quarantine life. I mean, I think quarantine I'm just saying life. The date because like it changes so frequently with algorithms and all that stuff. So like, how did you grow the platform? Like, what was your strategy growing the platform initially versus now to get the most engagement, ultimately to inspire the most people you can?
Again, it's it just changes for everyone and what your brand is about and everything.
Okay. But,
you know, I definitely don't think by any means it's necessary to post 2-3 times a day. We were doing that because we had the intern whose sole job it was to do that. And it doesn't hurt to post more by any means. Like the more posts you get out there, the more chances you have to hit the explore page or get a feature or something like that. So it doesn't hurt by any means, but like right now, since I'm just basically running it, me and Kevin, like we're posting, we're slow right now. Like we're doing like once a day, once every other day, sometimes once every 3 days on the feed. And then maybe popping in on, we like, I try to pop in on stories daily, like at least share something to stories. Like that's quick and easy. You should always have something on your story, in my opinion. But yeah, I don't think posting like multiple times a day, especially with just when you're getting going, is necessary.
Yeah.
The thing that was huge for us in growing the page was collaborations. So,
oh man, I hear that so much. And like,
yeah, man,
like, it still sounds impossible sometimes for me.
It, and it's like, it's kind of a mindset shift that you have to make because so to give you a story, back when we had like 3,000 followers, like we were going on these road trips and stuff, like we were getting like not many views on things and we were just like kind of frustrated. We were doing these epic things, but no one was finding them. So that's when we were like, okay, we need to grow this thing.
Right.
I found, I think this page with like 100,000 followers or 150 commented on one of our photos or videos or something, just like something basic, like cool work, like nice shot, cool, whatever.
Right.
And I was like, I kind of took a risk and DM'd them and was like, hey, like would love to, you know, hop on a phone call sometime and chat and like talk or whatever. Like I just kind of shot my shot there, not thinking they were going to reply.
Yeah.
He replied almost instantly. And it turned out he lived like 20 minutes from me.
No freaking way. I love that.
Yeah. Yes. And so that was down in the Bay. So I was living in the East Bay and he was in Hayward. So it was like 20 minutes away.
No way.
And yeah. So he's like, yeah, man, cool. Like let's meet up at Starbucks like next week or whatever. Like let's touch base. Met up with him and the rest is history. He's at like 700,000 followers now.
Whoa.
It's called Wanderlust Collective. If anyone wants to look it up at Wanderlust Collective, it's like, he's one of the industry leaders for travel and adventure content.
Amazing.
And I mean, that relationship just started from me literally shooting out a DM being like, hey, it would be cool to connect sometime. Like people behind these pages are just people. Like they're, of course there's going to be like, you know, not so cool people out there, but most people are cool. Like most people are down to chat and you know, that was definitely a risk because we had 3,000 followers. He had over 100.
Yeah.
And that by no means was he the first person I've DM'd. Like I probably DM'd 10 people and he one replied, you know, but that's what you got to do. Like reach out to a ton of people and don't do it in a way that's selfish. Don't be like, you know, let's collaborate. It'd be awesome. Even though I have 200 followers and you have 200,000, like,
so give me some specifics on that though. Cause that's true. Mm-hmm. You're right. You have to bring forward value to somebody. So like for you with him, is it like, do you say we'll get shots together? Do you say, hey, you could like use my shots? Or I mean, how did you bring value into that one specifically?
I think I said something along, cause so his page is kind of like a curated page, like Adventure Labs is, where he's just pulling content from all over the internet and sharing it. And at the time, I think Adventure Labs was not that. At the time we were just posting our own stuff. And so I think I kind of would just said something along the lines of like, it'd be cool to help you shoot something sometime, or like, hey, it'd be cool to connect. And maybe, you know, there might be an opportunity for me to help you shoot something, like something like that. Like it doesn't have to be crazy, but definitely making some sort of bridge, you know, to bring some sort of value.
Like you didn't say like, hey, can you tag my profile? Hey,
no, can I do this? No.
Can you do that? You just said, hey, can I help you get your job done easier? Like you didn't at one point in the beginning even mention like shout me out or do anything like that. You just wanted to help him.
Yeah. 100%.
That's so key, dude. And you can like sense it or smell it when people they want something. You know, and I've been that desperate person multiple times. And I actually, it's funny because I do reach out to people frequently. And I think right now with the what's going on in the world, it's a good time to get a hold of people. So you're definitely inspiring me to like double down on this right now. So thank you for that.
Yeah, man, it goes down in the DM. It really does. It goes down in the DM. Like, don't be like, that's how we've, and yeah, to piggyback off that, like that's how we've gotten most of our biggest clients is just by shooting them a DM. Like even to this day, like
really,
you know, at the time of doing that, maybe we had 10 or 15,000, but I DM accounts with like 200K, 500K, a million, like big brands, like big companies, like Nissan, like we've connected with Nissan. We've connected with Guayaki Yerba Mate, like, you know, these big companies, they reply to DMs, like, and I come in with the same value proposition of like, hey, I'm going to keep this short. It'd be cool to collaborate. This is what we do. This is what I'd love to do for you. Would be cool to hear if there might be any opportunities to work together. And like, that's it. And I do that a million times. Like I do that, you know, if you can get in like five of those a day, like no matter what industry you're in, whether you're just trying to connect with a person or a brand, like you'll get replies, you'll get emails back, you'll get podcasts and phone calls and you'll make things happen. It goes down to DM.
That's why this is happening right now, man. I asked you to be on the podcast right in the DM.
Yeah, exactly. You slid through.
And I got to say too, one thing, if you do get that opportunity from someone, like you reach out and maybe this person or this brand is interested in, you know, meeting for coffee or meeting for the next step, But you also at that point have to be really willing to get it done. And that means going to coffee at a very inconvenient time, doing a podcast at a very inconvenient time. Like you can go back and forth like all day, like trying to schedule, and that friction is just going to like fizzle anything out. So just say yes, show up, no excuses. I mean, even if it's one of the weirdest like situations to get it done, you have to like say yes, get it done, show up. And I think even before sending that initial email, you don't want to waste anyone's time. So you have to have that mindset that, hey, I'm sending 10. Hopefully I'll get back at least one. And when they're ready, I'm there. And that's another thing where it's like all of a sudden, I think, you know, it's like the idea of being like, I'll connect. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll do this. I'll do that. But then when it's actually put in your lap and you have to deliver, that's a whole nother scenario. Yeah. You know, that's the like the dreamers versus doers right there. So that would just be kind of my tag along piece of advice for that, because I've been in that situation. And you better believe when this podcast is over, I'm about to DM like at least 10 15 people right now.
Nice
That's so sick, man. Okay, cool. Yeah, so and one thing I want to say about the frequency of posts, when the algorithm changed from chronological to like engagement, that's when I realized that, dude, it seems like for Dialed Health's page to grow, keeping an active story has been very crucial. And then literally posting like 1 to 2 times per week on my timeline is enough. I think actually 2 to 3 is really better, because it just like, it, you know, it's fresher for people who come back to your profile. But like I haven't noticed any slow down in posting, because at one point I'm like, I have to post every day to my timeline. And so anyways, that's just kind of been my experience. So it's cool you've kind of figured that out as well. So now with Adventure Labs where it's at, I mean, shoot, you have just Adventure Labs has like, it's like 27K on Instagram or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, and then your personal profile is growing. You have a few thousand followers there. You have your YouTube channel, you have the Chico Media. What are the upcoming plans?
The upcoming plans, let's see. So we have and this will be a good conversation too. We have a pretty sweet creator-centric giveaway coming up in 2 weeks through Adventure Labs. And that is leveraging off of the collaborations I mentioned earlier.
Yep.
That's like more of an advanced strategy, I would say. Like once you've got in with these brands, got in with these companies, done a little bit of work together, built that relationship, giveaways are a next awesome step for growing your following. You can build your email list, which is huge. Yep. You can get follows, likes, engagement, all that stuff. You can pretty much do anything with a good giveaway, but keyword, good, not slimy, not sketchy. Like you got to do it legit. It, like you have to have a good prize. You have to know your audience and what they want. You have to be able to provide enough value to these brands giving things away that they want to be a part of it. So there's a lot of moving parts there, but giveaways have been an awesome way for us to grow not only the following, but also just our our foot in the industry. Like,
nice.
People have been like we've ran into random people at like trade shows and stuff like that. And they're like, oh yeah, I think I saw one of your guys' giveaways. Like that was a sick package. Like, man, I really wanted to win that. Like, how the heck did you guys even put that together? Like what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how'd you even like come, how are you working with these brands? Like, come on. Like that's
so sick.
Can
you give me an example like of a, like, you know, you being outdoor adventure media, it's like, what would your package be? You know, is it like, Hydro Flask and outdoorsy type products? Is it like a trip? Is it like, what is it?
So while we were kind of still figuring out our brand identity, I guess we did a very like outdoorsy based giveaway, which was like, we gave away a kayak, Hydro Flask, since actually no, it was Earthwell, this bottle right here, basically Earthwell. The same thing.
Nice.
But, bunch of outdoor stuff. That one didn't do so well because we had kind of built a real creator centric platform. So since then we've focused mainly on camera gear giveaways. So we've given away a Sony a7 III, which is like a $2,200 camera.
Yo.
You know, sliders, no drone yet, but backpacks, tripods. And we packaged that all together as like, we called it the ultimate travel filmmaking bundle, I think, something like that. Ooh, we've done a couple of those. We gave away that Sony. We've given away an Olympus camera. And we market it in a way that's very like travel and outdoor creator centric. Mm-hmm. So we're not just like, it's still like on brand and into our niche. So it's like, we're doing a camera giveaway, but it's like a camera giveaway for adventurers or adventure creators or travel creators. Like it's still
nice.
Super on brand. And so that's like similar to the one that we'll have coming up.
That's cool too, because even if you're not like a professional, even myself, I'd be stoked to get a camera, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, I know like my wife has a point and shoot camera, but she'd be stoked to get a nicer camera, you know? So that is cool because it makes sense for your like niche audience, but also it does kind of broaden up to even outside people. So when you do that, are you doing a giveaway like, hey, make sure you're following Adventure Labs, follow this account and tag three friends? Is that that seems like it's the go-to. That's what I've done in the past.
That's pretty much the go-to, but we use an external platform called Viper.io, I believe, Viper.io.
Okay.
And it's basically a giveaway hosting web platform, which you can do a lot more. It just allows you to do a lot more than what you could do on Instagram, like tag three friends and follow. You can collect emails to build your email list, and you can actually make custom actions like, you know, come to my website and click on this link for 5 bonus points, which increases your entries to winning. Like subscribe on YouTube. Like, you know, you can do anything with it basically. As long as there's
track it also.
Yeah. It tracks all of it. So it'll say like it has analytics for everything. It's pretty cool.
Whoa.
So
I'm going to look into that.
Yeah. Check that out. We can talk more offline about that too. Cause it's quite the process, but I'm happy to help. Cause it's sick.
That's so sick. But okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Giveaways are cool,
I'll definitely
man,
be asking you more about that.
For sure. Yeah. Giveaways are cool. Cause we grow our following, we grow our social presence, but dude, like we change lives through these giveaways. Like that's the ultimate thing. Like the videos that we've gotten from the winners, like the last dude that won our giveaway literally sent us a video of him like pacing around a parking lot. And he was like, guys, like, I don't know if you're messing with me right now, but like, I'm at work. I just walked outside. Like I'm literally just walking around this parking lot, not knowing what to do. Like I'm freaking out. Like
no way.
My life's about to change forever. Like I have this trip plan coming up, but my camera sucks. And like, I just want to be able to capture it. Like that's been my dream. Like I've been thinking about this giveaway every day. Like I don't win anything. And I think I just won this giveaway. Like
that's
he was
crazy.
Not convinced that he won though. He was like,
really?
I need you guys to send me a video of yourselves. And like, Seth, you won this giveaway. Cause he's like, don't mess with me right now. Like I'm an emotional guy. Like I'm freaking out. So it's really rewarding to see the reactions. And it's like, it's just cool to take what we've built and our resources to have that impact on people. And that's just one of the doing it.
I love that. And
so
that's
a
like a great example too of the passion you have behind what you're doing and why, again, all these details, like why would you need to know about this weird giveaway platform? It's because it makes the experience better for the people you're really trying to impact. And I commend you for it, dude. It gets me stoked. Honestly, you've given me some really good ideas just to help grow and make sure Dialed Health keeps going in the direction I want. And it's awesome to know your story. I'm stoked I've gotten a chance to know you. So we've kind of, you know, covered your come up. We know kind of what you're doing with Adventure Labs now. We've gotten some great advice on like basically the whole idea as far as getting value out of your posts, whether you're a business or a casual user, is just to make sure you have transparency and a good story. And ultimately, it's all about giving back and inspiring people to, what did you say, like pursue their passion?
Mm-hmm. Inspire people to pursue their passion.
So with all that kind of being covered and said, what would you kind of like to go out on? Do you have anything you'd like to say just to encourage people to get started? And then we're going to finish a little plug for you.
Cool. Yeah. If you're thinking about getting started, just dive in and start. You're never going to feel like there's the right time. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be uncomfortable. And if you're feeling that way, it's a good thing, because when you're uncomfortable, you're growing the most. And then once you do start, just stick with it. Like, don't give up. Like,
yeah,
like it's going to get hard. Times are going to get tough, but if it's something you really love and really want, you just got to keep pressing on and it'll eventually happen.
Love it. I love it. And learning from the feedback you get is super important, because it is just like, as much effort as you put out, remember, you could putting out a lot of effort digging a ditch all day. And, you know, all you did was like dig a ditch. So I don't know. It's that was like a really weird way to just say that you can
work
really hard and not be effective or accomplish more beyond kind of what you initially started. So you got to grow and you have to be willing to change what you thought the perfect idea was or something to make it work. So dude, Connor, it's been awesome having you on, bro. I'm super excited to have gotten to know you, and I hope, and I think this will bring a lot of value to people listening to it. So we mentioned it before, but where's the best place to find you?
So Adventure Labs on Instagram is at Adventure Labs. And then my personal Instagram is at Connor_Ricky. Feel free to send me a DM if you have any questions.
There you go.
Always down to chat. And then
if
you're into like camera reviews, you want to learn about filmmaking, how you can improve as a content creator here from beginner to advanced, I'm just Connor Ricky on YouTube. And then our YouTube channel for Adventure Labs is just Adventure Labs. And we just basically post fun adventures on that channel. So if you want some travel inspiration, check that out.
I love it. Dude, thank you so much. And we'll be talking soon. I have a lot more questions for you. Hopefully we'll link up and actually do a project in the near future together.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd be stoked, man. Anything we can incorporate some mountain biking with would be rad. Mountain biking or road, I guess, just cycling.
Cycling, dude, just pedaling.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
It'd be fun.
Okay, yeah. It's on. Well, with that being said, we're wrapping it up. Thank you so much for listening to that interview. I really hope you enjoyed it and pulled some value out of it. Maybe you learned some tips that you're actually going to use, or you're just inspired by Connor's story. Either way, I was stoked to do the interview. So Connor, thank you again. Now we're going to jump into the life update and then a little business update, but I got to tell you about the biggest road ride I have ever done, which was yesterday. So let's start with the Strava stats. All right, so I'm pulling it up right now. Okay, I titled this ride Just an Out and Back, and I'll tell you why when we get to it. And the distance, 97.75 miles. You might think, why the heck would you stop that shy of 100, especially when you've never done it before? The reason is, I promised my dad I would do my first official century ride with him, and it was for his birthday, or it's for his birthday, but we had planned on doing an actual century ride that was like 2 days from his birthday in wine country, coast of California. It was going to be beautiful, and what we decided to do is still ride 100 miles. We're going to do a different route. That was another canceled century we planned, and that will be my first official century with my dad, seeing that he got me into riding. I think it's only fitting, and I'm excited to do that. So as the ride went on, I was kind of worried I would break it unintentionally, so stopping just shy of it was kind of cool. So 97.75 miles, elevation gain, this is all off of Strava, by the way, 8,120 feet, moving time, 5 hours, 27 minutes, and 50 seconds, average speed, 17.9 miles per hour. That was heavily skewed by the draft that I was in the entire time, because the dudes pulling on the front of this were, without a doubt, so much stronger than me. I was literally mind blown. Like, I was like sucking these dudes' wheels. That's the weird thing to say, but that's what you're doing. And there's a time where one of my buddies wanted to get like a rotation in toward the end of the ride, and I just was like, nope, can't do it. Like, I will be here in the back, and I will hold, but I cannot even do one pull right now, or it's going to blow me out for the last like 30 miles of this thing. So pretty unreal to see what people are capable of, man. It blows me away because I'm getting fitter. You know, you start pulling trophies here, this, there, whatever, and like you feel all good. And dude, pretty soon you just ride with somebody that makes you feel like you suck. It is mind-blowing, man. And I'll be honest, it doesn't happen that often. Like, it's just, it's such a good, humbling thing that makes you hungry for more. So ride with people that are better than you. That's so freaking important. So then it says my average power was 210. I don't have a power meter on my bike. That's very skewed because of all the drafting I was doing. What I thought was pretty rad, though, and again, it's a little skewed because of the power and not accounting for the draft, was calories burnt, 4,608. Probably more around 4,000, but let me tell you, I was pretty much just game to eat whatever my stomach could handle last night, and I loved every second of it. So that was the ride stats, basically just shy of 100 miles, over 8,000 feet of climbing. We did a huge loop with the exception of this one out and back, and if you're local,
We did a big version of the Lake Loop, which is Folsom Lake in Northern California. And there's a part at the kind of the, you're toward the top of your elevation, I guess. Usually you kind of climb up toward this point, whichever direction you go. And it's in Pilot Hill, and there's a road called Rattlesnake Bar. So from this top point, which is like probably, I don't know, 1,400 feet or something, you drop all the way down to the lake, and then you climb back up. But the only thing is it rolls. So, you know, maybe it's closer to 1,000. I'm not even – I should have probably looked at it before I said it. But basically, it's just – it's an out and back. It's just an out and back, like they were saying, because they are convincing me and my buddy Stan. What up, Stan? Sorry to put you on blast for this semi-unintentional group ride. But basically we were already pretty shattered at that point, and it was adding this was just another level of digging deep and just that pure pure feeling of endurance, man. I'm reading Endure right now by Alex Hutchinson, and it says the definition of endurance is continuing to move forward against an overwhelming feeling of wanting to stop. It's something along those lines, and that's literally what I felt, because temperature is perfect, roads are beautiful, and my body is smoked. Okay, so we managed to make it happen, and let's go into the ride nutrition a little bit, because I did learn a lot from this other big ride. Just like I did a previous 90-mile ride, and what I did nutritionally was kind of off and not what I expected, so it was another cool learning experience. Before I dive into that, let me just say it was we had a few guys out there. And I don't want to disrespect anyone's boundaries. Obviously, these are guys that I do ride with regularly. And it's a hard thing to claim, especially for the business. I want to be safe and protect it. But I'm guessing if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not easily offended. I'm not an offendable guy, but we just have a very honest community here. And what's really like just straight up pissing me off right now is the fact that people are posting their solo rides and saying self-isolating or whatever, you know, outside's not dead or what's the saying? I can't even think of it. But people are just basically highlighting the fact of that they're doing solo rides like they would have anyways. And then they're just not posting about any group rides or any type of group or any person that they're around or something that could be taken the wrong way. So I'm just totally sick of it, man. I am sick of it. I met up with a few guys for an awesome road ride, all friends, all family friends. We all know each other. It's just, I guess I didn't know one guy. And this was the guy that really, really shattered everybody. But that was worth it because I needed to be exposed to this level of pain. So anyways, that was went down. So here's what I did. I started out in the morning with a simple bowl of oatmeal, black coffee, and some peanut butter. It was light. It was kind of all I felt like I could get in my stomach because we left at sunrise, so we were up early. There wasn't a lot of time to have this big meal and wait an hour or two. So left at sunrise with this oatmeal in my body, brought plenty of food, and basically, as we started climbing up, the first thing I ate that day was a banana. So I would say this is an hour and a half in. I had the banana. And then after the banana, we basically went to a coffee shop where I got an avocado biscuit. So it's like their version of avocado toast. So imagine like the most buttery, flaky, warm, perfectly cooked biscuit. Did I say buttery? It was so buttery. And it was cut in half with at least an entire avocado smashed on top, some microgreens. It had a little red radish, kind of some crunch, and then they squeezed lime over it. Unreal. I had that with an oat milk honey latte. So the reason I chose oat milk, besides the fact that it's my favorite milk to put in coffee, this like the flavors go so well, was that oat milk is very high in fat and it's one of the highest calories nut milks that you can get. So keep that in mind next time you order your oat milk latte. If you look at the actual macros on it, the fat is up there. So I got that. I got it with honey. Very filling. Probably the most I could have eaten as far as just dense calories went with all the fat. And I was curious to see how I did with all that fat. And obviously the honey, the biscuit, I had carbs in there too, but it's just another example of how different ride nutrition can be from your day-to-day nutrition of trying to stay lean. Because usually it's the opposite. It's like very low, for me, very low fat, high protein, and like, you know, kind of normal on carbs or even low carb versus high fat, higher carb, and like minimal, if not very little protein, you know? So basically ate that, felt great, started going out. I mean, the pace off the bat was just so hard to believe that we were going to complete this ride. And then I ended up eating another goo, because I felt like I got to the point where my stomach was full, but I did need a quick hit of sugar. And at this time, I was sipping on one bottle that had Cranked Naturals electrolyte mix in it, and it was like 100-calorie sugar, like normal electrolyte mix. So we basically get to the point where I'm like 50 miles in. I've had this avocado toast, the oat milk latte, a banana, two goos, and I've sipped on this electrolyte mix. So I didn't feel hungry. I felt good. I was taking in something like every hour at least, and I still had that good base, and my stomach just felt good from that avocado toast. It was like I had this layer in my stomach that was not making all the sugar feel like I didn't feel shaky or anything like that. You know that feeling where your stomach's empty and you have all those calories in it? It's weird. So anyways, we drop that out and back that I was talking about, Rattlesnake Bar. Absolutely brutal. Get out to the top. At this point, I had a waffle, a Honey Stinger waffle, after this 1,500-foot climb. And then we basically drop into the canyon, do one of the most badass descents that I have done on my road bike ever. It was like 5 minutes of 30-plus mile per hour just hammering. It was so fun, dude. I'm like literally amazed at how fun road riding can be, because, you know, I've come from such a gravity focused like mountain bike background. It just blows me away. So I gotta say too, dude, we pulled a couple top five medals on that descent, the Rattlesnake Bar descent. First time down, it was terrifying, but super sick. Anyways, we get into the canyon, we climb out, and by the end of this, I was drinking a lot of water, and we get to the point where we're out of this canyon and it's a lot more mellow terrain going back, a little flatter, smaller hills. And I'm kind of on my way home at that point. So we hit a gas station, and that's when I get a 12-ounce full sugar. It was a peach like nectarine Red Bull. Freaking delicious. One of the guys I was with got gummy bears. I had a full handful of gummy bears as I'm swigging this Red Bull, and just the caffeine, the sugar, the little carbonation, it was ice cold. We got big bottles of water chugging it. It was legendary. And it was funny too, because at that time, my buddy Stan pointed out at my leg, he's like, "Oh, your leg's doing the alien thing." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I looked down and my calf muscles were just like literally twitching. Like in very weird spots, kind of uncontrollably twitching, which I've never really even seen before. So yeah, that was kind of wild, but man, I just felt so good. Like a little, that caffeine, man. Caffeine and sugar. I mean, can you think of a better combination? Caffeine and sugar. Let me say it one more time. Caffeine, sugar. It was incredible. Perfect timing. We ended up rolling out from there. We all felt pretty good. Stan got a flat. We fixed it. No worries. Props to Stan also by not, he took the freaking two, or did the whole thing without any tools. So, you know, that guy's fingers are a no joke. Again, sounds a little weird, but we're going to keep it moving. So then we go back. At this point, the two dudes on the front, Chaz and Stefan, are doing some pulls that were so fast that I just was behind them, like barely hanging on. And I really thought in my head, I was like, I just don't know how these guys are doing this like that. Like I don't know. If we had a tailwind, so, you know, the draft's not like, you're not feeling it as much. But still, man, there was just a couple moments where I really was kind of like amazed at like just the performance. It was really, really impressive. Go back, get to a point basically where we are going to split and go our separate directions because I rode from home. At that point, I still had some more climbing to do. They had taken back off up the hill. And basically, I'm on my very last climb. It's probably like a 300-foot vert climb, I think. And, you know, I'm climbing up it, hottest part of the day. It's around 80 degrees. I'm pretty shattered. Again, my nutrition at this point, I felt really good and fueled, and I felt hydrated, but my body was done. And I kid you not, my wife calls me halfway up this climb, and I turned on the GPS tracker on my phone, so at any point she can just, you know, look at my phone and see where I'm at. 24/7, by the way. So, you know, I'm more whipped than I even thought. But it's nice because instead of having to call with updates on certain rides, you know, if I'm blowing my time like I always do, she can just check and see where I'm at, which is cool. So she called me because I was already an hour past when I said I'd be home, and I was mid the climb, just suffering. And I just pick up the phone and I was like, I can't talk right now, but I'm good and I'm on my way home. Where are you at? And what are you doing? What's up? And she was just checking in, but I felt so bad because it was like the rudest call. And I got to say, lesson is just don't pick up the phone. Just don't pick up the phone, man. You don't need a full on, you know, a full situation. Let me just say situation, because you're in pain and you have to pick up the phone just then. Just, you know, give it a minute. Cool the legs down. I had a little downhill, a little steady coast I did after and recovered. I could have called her back then, maybe pulled over for a second. But no, I had to answer it. Anyway, she was cool and, you know, didn't get upset with all my sass. Long story short, I make it home. I was stoked. I was basically running off all that sugar and the caffeine from that last stop at 75 miles. I got home, 97.75. First thing, took a shower, drank some water, and I was like, man, I want a big protein shake. Now, literally, guys, this is where I actually started making bad decisions on my nutrition. I made a beautiful protein shake, and you think this is perfect, right? Well, keep in mind, I hadn't really had a steady, like a solid meal since that avocado toast, which, by the way, the macros were so weird on it. Just not like a normal meal I'd eat. So I made a protein shake, 2 scoops of protein, banana, about a cup of mixed berries. But you look at the macros on it, it was like a 500 calorie shake. So I crushed up this Kate's Real Foods bar, shout out to them, put it on top. So it was an extra 230 calories. So it was like an 800 calorie protein shake. But again, it just, like the macros, it wasn't like dense enough. Like what I really needed was a Chipotle burrito. I needed a lot of carbs. I needed real like sustenance food. I needed that like thing. I needed something to fill my stomach up and have a higher ratio of carbs. And I blew it there because my stomach was empty. I had a protein shake, which it fills you up, but it's so fastly digested that I don't know. It's not like eating a bowl of pasta, and you just have to you feel that to experience it. And I made this a similar mistake from the last 90-mile ride I did, where I rode straight to freaking Krispy Kreme, and I was so excited to eat these donuts, and I ate 6 donuts. But again, even though I could handle the sugar, my stomach felt so sick from not having like a big meal that it just messed me up even more. And even though this protein shake was a better option than just straight donuts, it still wasn't that real meal that I needed at the time. And I noticed that because afterwards, like an hour later, I just started feeling sick, like literally sick. And I had a headache and I started drinking more water. And so I took a couple Advils and a Tums. Health, right? Like this is exactly when you realize riding 100 miles is not healthy. It's just all about performance and sport. Like it's far from healthy. So remember that. So I'm eating that. And then I just get to the point where I was like, you know what? I need to eat some more food. So what do? I'm stupid. I literally made a normal meal. I made turkey, eggs, and egg whites with freaking not dry toast. I had a little butter on it, but it was like these toast thin slices. Again, too high a protein, too little carb. And I just, even though my stomach was full, I started feeling really bloated and I just didn't feel right. So then a couple more hours goes by. I start drinking a little bit. We had some rosé. We're sticking our feet in the baby pool with Otto, which was super fun. And we're just chilling out there. I just didn't feel that good. Like I just could tell I needed carbs, but then again, my stomach was full. It was weird. So fast forward, I go to the last meal of the night, and here is where I turned things around. And it doesn't sound like it because it wouldn't be on a normal day, but on today with this ride, it was exactly what I needed, and it's what I should have done as soon as I got home. Are you ready for this? I had freaking spaghetti, like rigatoni noodles or something like that, but basically marinara, meat sauce, Parmesan cheese, and French bread. A big bowl I had 3 big old hunks of bread. I mean, we're talking 6-inch sliced, you know, Subway looking sandwich size breads. Dipping them in the sauce, eating the big bowl of pasta. Immediately after, I go to the fridge and eat a bundt cake that we had in there. And it was probably the same size as the single serving bundt cakes that you would get. Crushed it. And not only did I crush it, I was feeling so much better. I was like, oh my gosh, I needed this like so bad. I mean, I just went from a bowl of pasta and French bread with very little meat, because normally I would like double, triple up on the meat. No. All carbs, straight to the bundt cake, ate the bundt cake, and then I was like, you know what? there's a pint of Ben and Jerry's in the fridge that is going to get dominated. So I ate the bundt cake, felt great, drank some more water, just was feeling better. And less than an hour later, I cracked open that Ben and Jerry's, ate it. Again, felt better every single bite. It was incredible. And one of those moments where, this is rare, but because I do love to eat so much, I have such a big appetite, but I'm very conscious about what I put in my body. It's just one of those moments where you're like, it's weird to say, I earned every bite of it is true, but also it's like, I need this right now. Like, I'm going to literally be healthier and better for this at this moment, considering what I put myself through. So it's like a feeling of satisfaction that you don't really get unless you go a prolonged period of not eating bad foods or unhealthy foods or bad, you know, I don't want to say bad, but let's just say low quality foods. When you go, you know, do a long shred, you eat that first meal, it's like, dude, I earned this. It feels great. It's the same kind of feeling at the end of a ride. You're like, dude, I needed this. This is awesome. So anyways, that's where I turn it around. And long story short, for a big ride like that, next time I do it, I'm going to have an actual meal planned right at the end of the ride. So that even if I do have something small to tide me over, like a protein shake, within that first hour of being done, I can get a real solid meal in, make sure it's very carb heavy, you know, a lot of rice, a lot of tortilla, a lot of pasta, whatever it may be. And I'll probably have a dessert lined up immediately after that meal because, again, you just need more calories, you know. So that was all the nutrition, my experience on the ride. It was super fun. And that's it, man. I hope you guys are staying safe. Obviously, I respect everyone's boundaries when it comes to social distancing at the moment. It's very important to me to set a good example, but I just had to be honest about the fact that I met up with a few guys to go ride. And again, it's just weird talking to other people who are like, oh yeah, like I'm doing 10-person group rides, 15-person group rides. And again, I'm not saying that's okay, but it seems like, and I had someone say this to me this morning, it seems like the message on the ground is very different from what you're hearing on Twitter about, you know, I'm seeing people in person and literally we look at each other like, what the heck is going on? This is ridiculous. And then you turn on the TV and it's like, you know, we're all going to die. And everyone's like, what is, like, this is so weird. And again, this is like our California experience right now where we've had, you know, we've been very precautious and the hospitals are like empty. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go too far down this rant, but long story short, do what's comfortable for you. And, you know, I'm doing my best over here to respect people and their boundaries. So it's all we can do. Anyways, you guys, thank you so much for listening to that long, what almost turned into a rant about the ride. Super fun. And I will say, with all that rest and food, of course, a lot of mobility. Last night after the ride, I was on my foam roller. I was stretching. I elevated my legs and kind of just laid around for the rest of the day. I really feel good today, like surprisingly well. A little bit of IT band tightness on my left leg, which isn't common, but already through some mobility work this morning, I feel better. And I'm stoked. So I'm going to make sure I spin my legs for like 30 minutes easy tonight. It's my typical rest day, but I do want to spin them because I think if I don't, it's just going to come back to bite me on my Tuesday ride. So that's it. And to give you a quick update, let me jump into this real quick. You guys, the online workouts for Dialed Health are so sick right now because of the new guided format. I'm doing two a week. We're posting two a week. Monday and Wednesday are going to be the drop date. And right now, we are building workout programs through these individual workouts. So it means we're putting the individual workouts up ASAP, and they will eventually be a full program that you can follow. And it's our response to getting you moving with more options at home with either no or very limited equipment now, opposed to waiting for the build out of an entire program. And the best thing about this new stuff is that you can just follow along with me, press play, we're doing the workout together, or you could even choose to do the solo routine if you're sick of hearing my really cheesy jokes or where my brain goes during these workouts because it's random. But stoked on the workouts. We have no equipment, core, TRX, band, and kettlebell all being built at the moment. So go check those workouts out at dialedhealth.com. And what you might have seen, and I got to thank everybody who participated in this, was the pink bike post. My very first pink bike post, totally surreal, got put up last Wednesday. It was very successful because you guys went and commented on it and said some of the nicest things about me and Dialed Health and like I could it, seriously, I was blown away by how kind people were. I mean, it was without a doubt the most positive Pink Bike's comment section ever in the history. Done. No chance. In fact, someone commented just like, why? Question mark. And it wasn't even really like that negative. And of course, I gave a thoughtful response. And I'm like, well, this is why you strength train and yada, yada, yada. But so many people went and thumbs down it. It just went off the feeds. We had like over 100 comments on it, and I think it did well enough to hopefully secure a monthly spot and keep the exposure growing, because we are over 200 members as part of the Dialed fam for the website. Again, the goal is 500 so that, you know, I can just fully focus on this full time, and, you know, not be obligated to train people in person, even though I do love it. I don't want to have to crush all these sessions every day and take away from the content I'm giving you guys along the way. So that's it. I'm working on all sorts of stuff, these new interviews, the vlog, the just like doing my best to be like, all right, how do I get in a rhythm and get out the most valuable content as I can? And I just got cut off by my wife calling me. I was terrified that entire rant went unrecorded. So it didn't. We're safe. And I wanted to sign out by telling you guys to have a great week and to do your best to nail your training this week and to get in the rhythm that makes you feel like you're being the best version of yourself. Figure out your routine. Try your best to adapt because, again, with all the changing stuff, it's very difficult to feel productive or to accomplish what you want. I'm totally getting it right now. I mean, hence why this is being posted on, you know, 1 p.m. on a Monday, a post already uploaded. So I'm in it with you guys, but I want to encourage you to keep pushing. All right, guys, start moving forward and discover your path. I will see you next Monday.